Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Welcome back to another action-packed episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. David here with the Rygal and Viserys to my Drogon. Randy, Justin, how the hell are you doing? Randy first.
I don't know how to respond to that, but I get to be a dragon, so yay. I'm fantastic now.
All right, Justin.
He's a fantastic beast.
Where do I find him?
In his nice little office with his mint julep.
Yeah, in a suitcase.
His mintless mint julep. I am fabulous, David. Thank you. How are you?
I was great until you started talking about mint juleps. I like mint and like gum, but I don't like I hate mint and food and mint and drinks.
Oh man, so's my dad. You two and my father are the only three human beings that I interact with on a regular basis that are not fans of mint.
You like mint in your food?
I like mint chocolate chip ice cream.
Oh, okay. Well,
that's
let me
chemical mint,
that.
Though. It's not even real.
It counts. If I'm eating it,
in sweets.
And I like
in
my
sweets, I like
my mint to be green. There's like the Tillamook ice cream, and it's white. And I don't like that. I want my mint chocolate chip to be green, because I associate mint with green. It's like the whole thing
we don't
with
see colors here.
It's like when ketchup did the green ketchup. I couldn't do it. It's supposed to be red.
Shrek.
Yeah, it's bad. Not in the cards.
No, all right. Well, who am I to argue with logic like Shrek ketchup that's green?
Yeah.
I remember when they did it. I'm not calling you crazy. Just saying you're weird. So Game of Thrones happened, guys. You guys hear about this little indie show, Game of Thrones?
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people... Oh, sorry, Randy?
Oh, I was just going to say, I heard it leaked super early.
It did. A lot of people were excited about this episode because when they released their budget per episode, this was the second highest budgeted episode. And so people figured there was probably going to be some fun dragon action. And I'm sure we'll talk all about that shortly. But yeah, I thought it delivered on all promises. I have a couple slight gripes I'll get to in the end. But overall, I thought this was probably one of the best episodes the series has had. What did you think, Justin?
Same sentiment. Loved it. Loved it. Loved it. Loved it. And is what's been great is I've been getting texts throughout the show and then yet last night and then again today. And it's just like, you know, OMG and oh my fucking God, this is the greatest episode ever. And the dragons and the fire and Arya. There was so much action going on that everyone has their own little favorite part. And that is amazing. And that's the cool thing about this show. We're finally at that point where it's heroes on both sides. So it's like you want people to die, but at the same part, you want people to live. And you're like, no, don't kill this guy. Don't kill that guy. Fuck this dude. Fuck that dude. And it's just crazy that, you know, we can watch a million people die over and over and over again. But the second a horse gets its leg chopped off or a dragon gets hit with an arrow, then it's like, robble, 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 get PETA on the phone.
what about you, Randy? What was your initial impression? Did you love it as much as Justin and I did?
Oh, I absolutely adored it. There was just so much action and so much just destruction, and no matter what was happening on screen, you felt for just about everybody involved, because we're finally, all of the worlds are colliding, and all these characters that we've seen as heroes are kind of coming against each other, and it's like you don't know who to root for. And and I'm just hoping the whole time that please don't kill the dragon, please don't kill the dragon. Oh man, I was on the edge of my seat.
Nice. Now, excluding the dragon part, which we'll talk about in detail, I'm sure. What was your favorite part of the episode, Randy? Where would you like to start this combo?
Ooh, my favorite part of the episode. I would have to say I really enjoyed Arya coming back to Winterfell, and specifically her duel with Brienne.
That was good. That was a decent scene.
It was an excellent scene.
Yeah, when Brienne's trying to teach Pod, and she's giving him all these lessons, and Arya's like, and don't fight someone like her.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's
good advice. Yeah. Dummy. Now, do you think that Brienne was holding back? I mean, she gave her that nice little, like, bro kick to the chest, which is pretty awesome, but Justin, do you think that overall they both were holding back? Maybe Brienne was holding back more, or do you think Arya's that good?
So I definitely think that Brie was holding back at the beginning, but when she kicked her, I think she was finally like, fine, that's it. If you want to play, then this is how it's going to be.
Yeah, that kick felt pretty real to me.
Yeah. And even like she kind of had like a oops kind of moment, you know? And then when Arya just straight up turned into Batman and did a sweet little kick flip and hopped up, that was pretty bad. And she was smiling the whole time. I thought that was fantastic. So I do think that in a way, they were both kind of holding back, because who wants to chop a little girl in half, and then who wants to kill, you know, your sister's best protector? So, I mean, it makes sense. They were just sparring, but I think that they both have some more tricks up their sleeves.
Yeah, I thought it was cool that Sansa got to see, like, this is what my sister has become. You know, her and Littlefinger watching from that little pulpit above. And earlier in the episode, when Arya had mentioned her list to Sansa, they just kind of laughed it off like it was a joke.
Right.
And so now I think Sansa's like, oh, this is for reals.
Exactly. Very big reveal. So now it's one of those things where Arya's always wanted to be, you know, the badass, and Sansa's always wanted to be a lady. And it's just funny that she doesn't bring a whole lot to the table, at least not right now, whereas her brother is... sort of this
King of the North.
All knowing. Well, yeah. So there's John, who's King of the North, which is great. But then there's the creeper that sits under trees all day that knows everything. And then there's this badass little assassin for a sister, and she just has Littlefinger. So I'm curious to see what she's gonna do next to bring something to the table.
Yeah, hopefully something really good. I'm cautiously optimistic about Sansa. As you guys know, I don't like Sansa, but I'm hoping that there's going to come a moment. Like, she had flashes like during the first episode of the season where like she was telling Littlefinger, don't worry about getting the last word. I'll just assume it was something clever. But now it seems like Littlefinger's creeping back into her ear, and I don't know if Arya is going to be able to kill Littlefinger before, you know, he plants some seeds that can't be unsowed. What do you think, Rando?
Well, I think that's what Littlefinger does best, and if he's going to stick around and not get offed, you know, sooner rather than later, then he's going to need to start scheming. So, I don't know. I don't know how to answer that.
Well, all right. Well, we mentioned Jonathan Snow, one King of the North. We got to see him and actually find the dragonglass in the cave, have a little sexy time moment with Daenerys. Have her totally misread the signs and C-block him by talking about bending the knee again. It was kind of cool to see the parallels to Jon Snow doing the exact same thing to Mance Rayder, telling him, like, hey, dude, save your people, bend the knee. And it's fun to see him on the receiving end. Justin, did you feel that this scene, you know, we're obviously leading to a romantic inclination between the two of them. This scene do anything for you, or was it just a exposition dump to show us, like, oh, I'm on your side now, John?
No, I actually really like this scene. I liked how he grabbed her arm, you know, and kind of guided her further into the cave. I'm a sucker for sort of that, we'll call it anthropology for lack of a better word. But, you know, it's just weird when I see something that's really old that ancestors did. I get really like emotional and choked up. One time I saw this, it was like a Babylonian type bowl thing, you know, something that was well over, you know, 2,500, 3,000 years old. And it just almost brought a tear to my eye because it was so cool that this thing has been on the planet for so long, and it like totally tripped me out. And that's what I was thinking of when I was watching John show her the writings on the wall. It was so weird. Like I almost kind of missed the scene because I was just kind of daydreaming about a piece of history. It was so stupid to say out loud now that I think about it, but it's just cool how powerful something like that can be. Like, this was so important to these people back then, and they're telling you right now, like, hey, you guys got to work together if you're going to pull this off. The children of the forest, the first men, they they work together to defeat these horrible, horrible things.
Yeah, absolutely. And it wasn't like, it wasn't easy to put shit on the wall back then.
Yeah, they didn't have chalk. You couldn't go to the store and just buy the shit.
It's mostly just dried semen.
Honestly.
And the guy that had like herpes or something to the blue eyes. It'd be really
right. And that look, didn't it look a lot like the face, not necessarily the Night King, but you know that old bearded looking White Walker? It looked a lot like that guy. The one that was sort of like in season 2 and 3 that was just kind of the asshole that you saw all the time.
Yeah, the one that John killed in
Hardhome.
In Hardhome, yeah.
Yeah.
One of, I guess, I don't know if they're actually called the Four Horsemen or if people just call them because there are four of them who are on top of horses.
Right.
Yeah, he was one of them. I don't know if John disintegrated him. But, can't keep a good white down. And by that, I mean W-I-G-H-T. That's not, I don't want to get flagged here.
staying with offensive, sir.
Staying at Dragonstone, we got several reunions this episode. You know, we talked about Arya with Sansa and Arya with Bran. You know, Arya hadn't seen Sansa since, you know, near the end of season 1. She hadn't seen Bran since episode 2 of season 1. And then in this one, we get Theon's reunion with Jon Snow, which we knew wasn't going to be a very happy one. And as soon as Jon Snow said, "Is that a Greyjoy ship?" I'm like, "Oh shit, Jon hasn't seen Theon in quite a while. This will be fun." So, did that scene pay off for you, Andy?
Oh yeah, it was that long, tense moment where you weren't sure exactly what he was going to do. Is he going to throw a punch? Was he going to hug him? Was he going to do something in between? And that was more or less what we got. It's a little in between, a little bit more threatening than anything else, though, and deservedly so. But man, Theon started to get on my nerves. I mean, he's been getting on my nerves for a while, but oh, such a P word.
Is he redeemable, you think, Justin, Randy?
No, I think he needs to die.
Well, I assume he's going to die, but do you think that if he goes out in some heroic fashion that he can, I mean, obviously he'll never be forgiven for the sins, but like as far as a character, can we kind of redeem him?
I mean, anybody's redeemable to a degree. So, theoretically possible, yeah. Do I want to see him redeemed? Not really. I don't feel like I need to see that. But I think he could be.
We don't need no Greyjoys.
Yeah.
Justin loves the Greyjoys, though. They're his favorite people.
No way.
Yeah.
They are the worst. And I don't think he is redeemable. I think he's done. I am so sick of that man. I thought that he was. And then when he just sort of wimped out and, you know, hopped off the boat, I was literally done with him. I
do you think he hopped off to save his sister, knowing that if he fought, they both were going to die?
No. I think
this way it might save them both? Do you think he's pushed out?
I think he just has, like, PTSD, and he thought that the best way for him was to just hop overboard. I'm just sick of him, dude. And I honestly think that he's going to make it through the end of this. I don't think he's going to die.
He's got to go out.
I think he's just meant to suffer for the rest of his life.
I hope not. I hope you're wrong. I'm hoping he does something heroic to save somebody. And although we will all hate him in the end, we'll be like, well, at least with his final act, he did something of merit. Maybe. And then we got Jamie and our best friend Bronn transporting all the goods from Highgarden, and they got the gold back in time. They're bringing the wheat, as you will have, and I guess all hell breaks loose. How awesome was that scene, Justin? All of a sudden we started hearing these Dothraki that we've heard for years, or these just like unrivaled fighters, and now we got them like standing on top of their horse, firing arrows and jumping into battle with no fucks given. And just when you think it can't get any radder, all of a sudden a big fucking dragon pops in a frame.
Right.
Which part did you come once and then a second time when the dragon came out, or how did you react to that scene, Justin?
Yeah, you know, actually I didn't really know what to think until the dragon just laid waste with fire. I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah, and Randy, what did you think about that? The entrance of just seeing the enormity of Drogon
Oh, it's just... It rendered me speechless, clearly. I just thought it was absolutely amazing. And then to see her riding on his back, I think, was fantastic as well. I was a little worried when he was flying into the formation of soldiers that were going to be firing arrows up into him, but to see them just kind of deflected off of his chest scales was pretty badass. But, of course, that also leads to the larger weapon that was used against him later on. I'm glad it wasn't, spoiler alert, I'm glad it wasn't a death blow. But I was a little worried when he took the giant arrow and was kind of spinning out of control, coming towards the ground.
Fired by our good buddy Braun, who still around, still banging. He wanted the castle, and they said, oh, you don't want that castle.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that little guy. Yeah, I thought it was great. I thought it was, you know, with action nowadays, everyone wants to get so close and get that real personal, you know, face, you know, so you can see the real emotion. But this reminded me a lot of like old school, like not terribly old school, but like Braveheart, like to where they would show like the far off hillside so you can see the enormity of the force coming at you. And Lord of the Rings did it as well. And it was great that they pulled back so far. And I mean, it helps that they didn't have to highlight or make heroes of any of the Dothraki because they're all just the same guy, basically. But I thought the way they used it, and they showed, like, just when you think the scene can't get any cooler, all of a sudden the freaking dragon comes out, like, mid-frame, and he's like, rah! And then we get that nice side view just so we can see how big Drogon is compared to, like, all of these horses. Mm-hmm. And just that he, like, just, yeah, like you guys said, he just fucking lays waste to everything. I was kind of surprised that Dany was complaining they didn't have enough supplies, that she aimed for the supplies mostly. I would have thought that she would have aimed more for the people and taken the supplies. But I guess that's a pretty small gripe. What did you think, Justin, about that ending? You know, so Randy had talked, you know, the scorpion shoots. Drogon is wounded. He falls to the ground, is able to stop before he crashes. And Dany tries to pull the spear out. And our good buddy Jaime has the decision to flee or to fight. And like the true hero that he is, the greatest hero of all time, he decides he's going to try to take out Dany. So what did you think of that scene?
It's incredible. When he sits there, he only thinks for a second. He's like, should I kill this bitch right now? Is that what I should do? I thought he was just going to go out in a blaze of glory. I thought we just thought that we were just going to get a monkey wrench thrown our way and Jaime and his horse just melt in front of our eyes. For a second, I thought that's what was going to happen. And I was so glad it didn't turn out that way, but I loved how he was so brave and he was just like, fuck it. If I'm going out, I'm going to go out trying to, you know, I'm the Kingslayer. This is what I do. It is on my resume and I am going to fucking crush some p-word, and and it didn't work out.
I mean, does that in a way diminish the scales of this, that really everyone of importance came out unscathed, where we could have at least lost a Dickon?
Yeah, what an asshole.
I mean they kind of made us like him for a couple seasons or a couple episodes. You know, we had a semi-emotional connection to him. They could have killed him at least, right?
Right, and that's what I'm kind of surprised about, too, is we didn't have any real notable deaths. But at the same time, like I was saying earlier, I was literally rooting for both sides simultaneously. I didn't want to see anybody die. So, yeah, I don't know. What I think that means is any deaths that may be coming for any of those particular characters that were in precarious situations in last night's episode, it means something is bigger is coming for them down the line, something that we're probably going to appreciate even more. So I am going to leave it in the showrunner's infinite wisdom to surprise us later.
Right. There seemed like there was too much left for Jaime to do, that they really couldn't kill him off. I'm not sad they didn't kill anybody. I just was surprised that on a show that, you know, kind of gets their kicks off of shocking people, that the ultimate shock would have been just what Justin described, that Drogon looks up at the last minute and just either swallows him whole or breathes fire on him. It was cool to see Tyrion up there, and he's like, flee. He's like, you fucking idiot. You could tell that he did not want his brother to die. And Tyrion looked a little conflicted up there, and I don't know, you know, there's... they seem to be setting some seeds up at Dragonscale or Dragonstone between, you know, Davos always questioning with Sandy's loyalty and asking her questions about, like, well, if you wanted to go, you could just go. Between that and Tyrion seemingly not wanting his brother to die, do you think that we're going to see a major betrayal of Daenerys this season, Justin?
No, I don't think so. I think I was under the impression that Davos was just sort of looking to explore why she has such a tremendous buy-in from the people that work for her. I really think that's all it was. I don't think that anyone is going to betray her. I was literally under the impression that he was just trying to figure out, just probe and find out what makes her so amazing. Because they don't really know each other. And, of course, all the news that they got came from across the Narrow Seas. So, I mean, that's literally playing the worst game of telephone ever. Especially when they've been hanging out as far north as you can go and still be south of the Wall. So,
right.
I think it was just more of a scholar sort of learning the ways of the indigenous tribe, as it were.
All right. Little Jane Goodall there. Mm-hmm. Well, on the flip side of that, Randy, what about, you know, we've seen Dany have fits of anger, and, you know, she didn't seem to have any qualms whatsoever about roasting an entire army, you know, of soldiers, you know, just like her, you know, her great-great-great-great-great-grandfather Aegon the Conqueror did, you know, to form House Lannister almost, you know, in the Field of Fire, burning everybody. Do you think we could see a Mad Queen situation? Do you think maybe this is the rope-a-dope that Game of Thrones is playing on us, that eventually Dany will be just as bad as the other Targaryens?
Yeah, you know, that wouldn't surprise me at all, especially after her conversation with Jon Snow. And he's like, you don't want to be like one of them, you know? And she turns around. He turns around and goes back to look for her. What's she doing? She's doing that exact thing. She's becoming like one of them. So, yeah, I think maybe it's in her blood. Maybe it's just going to happen. Maybe anybody who spends that much time around dragons, it's going to corrupt them, and she's just going to lose control. And that's the thing, too. When she kind of snapped at Jon Snow, saying, look, we're in a war. I'm losing. What would you do? You know, it's like kind of a hint of desperation that I don't think we've really seen from her before.
And then she does the opposite of what John and everyone said.
Right.
They're all, don't go with your dragon. She's like, I'm going with my dragons.
Yeah, it's like that's her first line of defense, you know. Somebody pulls a knife and she pulls out a bazooka.
Well, now that we've seen one of the dragons injured and being the biggest of the dragons, do you think this is leading to trying to, like, prepare us mentally for the death of one of these three dragons, Justin?
Ooh, yeah, I think that's fair. I think, while I hope that all three survive, it would be weird for one of them not to die. Maybe even the one named after her brother, Viserys. Just because, you know, he was the real piece.
He was, in fact, a real piece. Now, do you think we get it this season? You know, the penultimate episode is always the what the fuck just happened episode of Game of Thrones. Do you think episode 6 we see the death of a dragon?
I wouldn't be surprised if we see the death of all three dragons. And the show, not necessarily this season, but throughout the course of the remaining episodes that we have of this entire series, and then there even sort of being sort of that glimmer of hope that dragons might one day return to Westeros again, whether it be eggs or whatever. Like Daenerys and Jon are in the Red Keep, and then it goes down to the dungeon, and then out, you know, goes down this deep dark dungeon, and then we see some dusty covered egg or something, and then it's like, oh,
and it shakes,
and it shakes, and then credits,
and then end of show credits.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah, I never even thought about that, but it's a good little allegory, you know. They're almost like too powerful for like one person to control. And then maybe by taking that off, she has to actually rule through kindness and compassion and not dragons. Mm. That's interesting. Well, Randy, Do you share the opinion that one or more of the dragons will die? And if so, is it going to be by Kyber and Scorpion, or is it we going north of the wall with the Night King?
I think at least one of the dragons is going to die. It's just, it's going to have to happen. And when it does happen, I hope that it is north of the wall. I don't want a human to kill it. I want one of the White Walkers to kill it.
And ride it? Like as a white?
That would be pretty badass. A white dragon.
W-I-G-H-T. Don't make a thing.
Yeah.
Wow, that would be exciting. That's a hell of an idea. Well, we know next episode is it has to do with the title, something about Eastwatch, or Eastwatch by the sea, which is the base that the Night's Watch base that Tormund Giantsbane and the Wildlings went to in episode one, and the trailer and synopsis make it sound like the Jon is going back, that he's mined the dragonglass he needs, he's going back to the wall. So maybe this is going to be the setup episode for that north of the wall ranging that may cost us a dragon. Justin, do you expect this episode to be a lot of moving pieces, getting them in line, or do you think we'll see, you know, another couple of big set pieces like we have been seeing the last couple episodes?
Oh man, I don't know, dude. I mean, I'm comfortable with either. I've come to appreciate the movement of the pieces, but they've sort of evolved to where pieces, they move, but then they just fall right off the fucking game board. So I'm I'm totally okay with that. The way season 6 got us prepped for the amount of crazy that can happen in an episode, and season 7 has not let up. So honestly, I'm cool either way. I can ride this crazy wave to the end. Sometimes I feel like we're Taya Leone and her father staring at that horrible wave before we're about to get annihilated. But I think mentally I could probably use sort of just a peace-moving episode.
Palate cleanser.
Yeah. But I don't care, man. I'm loving everything they're throwing my way. So.
Sweet Deep Impact reference. You get bonus points for the Sweet Deep Impact reference there with Tia Leone. Randy, what do you think? Are we going to get a move the pieces, kind of collect your bearings and your breath before we hit you over the head with Red Wedding level misery in an episode? Or do you think that they've already reached terminal velocity and there's no slowing up now?
You know, it's one of those things. They blew their budget this episode, and it was the shortest episode, too. It was only 50 minutes. I think we're going to need to slow down a little bit. I think just the nature of the show, we're going to have to. We can't keep up at that pace. So I feel like they've earned a lot of goodwill with the fans with this episode. So if we need a slow exposition episode follow-up, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, touch base with some of the characters we haven't seen in a couple episodes. You know, we haven't seen the Hound and the Brothers Without Banners. They conceivably are also headed to Eastwatch by the Sea based on what the Hound saw in episode one. And while I could give two shits about the Brothers Without Banners, I do would like the Hound a lot. And if they're traveling together, so be it. You know, we'll obviously hopefully check in with Tormund and all of his buddies. Jon Snow, hopefully we'll be meeting them there. And maybe we'll get more Cersei. We didn't get a lot of Cersei, and the Cersei we got was in stupid scenes with the Bank of S Bravos that nobody cares about. So yeah, Game of Thrones. I gave it a solid A+. It was maybe sort of Hardhome level awesomeness, but it was definitely a top 5 episode of Game of Thrones for me. What about you, Randy?
I definitely give it a solid A.
Would you say it's in your top 5 Game of Thrones episodes like I did?
Yeah, why not?
Leading the witness, Your Honor. Justin, what about you?
Yeah, absolute. Total A, definitely top 5. Which I'd be hard-pressed to cram into 5 at this moment. It's been pretty goddamn good as of late.
Yeah, you got Hardhome in there, definitely. Battle of the Blackwater.
Battle of the Bastards was good. The finale, last season finale, was incredible.
Yeah. And that was a lot of Cersei.
Oh, I don't really know. The mountain and the Viper.
Oh,
this is pretty good.
last night after I watched the episode of Game of Thrones, for whatever reason, I had the hankering to watch, like, start the series. And so, like, I watched, like, the first episode. It's, like, unrecognizable to the show that's on nowadays. Like, Daenerys looks like she's, like, 10 years old. Emilia Clarke is so young. And, obviously, a lot of the characters that are in it are no longer there. You know, we got, most of the Starks that are gone. We got Robert Baratheon. Got to see him push Bran off the wall. It's definitely worth checking out just to see, like, how different everybody looks. Tyrion's got, like, super blonde hair. And, it's a fun little nostalgia trip. So if you have an hour to kill, watch Game of Thrones, episode 1, season 1. But that's neither here nor there. Justin, you're a big fan of Cable and Deadpool, and we got a reveal today. Tell me all about it. Ooh. How awesome it is.
All about it, then.
All about it. I got time.
Sure. So we got our first look at Josh Brolin, who's playing Cable in Deadpool 2. And during D23, we noticed how ripped Josh Brolin was in person when he was talking about, like, Thanos and all that jazz. And he just looked freakishly huge. And now we see why. Because his representation of Cable is just beefcake. He looks amazing. He's got the face damage. He's got the super laser eye. He's got the teddy bear on his hip. Lots of bullets, lots of grenades, big guns, looks like his cyber arm, and I cannot wait to see a live-action trailer with Cable in it. I almost kind of want it to be like a Godzilla reveal where we don't really get to see anything until we watch the movie, but stranger things have happened.
Yeah, it'd be cool from the trailer. He's like at the very, very end, like Deadpool's getting his ass kicked, and all of a sudden you see his big old hunkin' Terminator-looking motherfucker just walk through the door with some oversized gun.
Yup.
Oh, yeah, it's good that... Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, that's it.
I was just going to say, it's cool that it looks like they're going out with the 90s Cable, with the big guns and everything like that that we all know and love from the X-Men animated series.
Yeah.
And
your favorite with the pouches. You're a sucker for the pouches.
I'm a sucker for the non-functioning Robert Liefeld patches on everybody. Cyclops has patches. What does Cyclops need? He doesn't have a gun with ammo.
Yeah.
What's in there? Spare visors?
It's his Tic Tacs.
They were big on the
everywhere he goes.
The thigh holsters too, or the thigh pouch holders.
Yes, it's all tactical. All tactical, all the time.
Hmm. Randy, you kind of I don't know how you feel about Cable and the X-Men and comic book movies and Josh Brolin and teddy bears in general, but does this excite you?
I know surprisingly little about the Cable character, but I'm still excited, if that counts for anything. It looks badass, so, yeah, that's all I gotta say about that.
Nice. Yeah, it counts for a lot. I think expectations are already sky high on Cable, and they released that picture of Domino last week, where she's laying on top of, like, a Deadpool rug, and I think people were flipping out about that, and this is just throwing gasoline on the fire, and I think people are chomping at the bit for June of next year. We still got almost a year for this thing. Yeah, it's a long time. Long time. But there may be some respite in there for you, Justin, because they are making the live-action Judge Dredd show, and your boyfriend, Carl Urban, said he'd be interested in being in it.
I can't wait. I would watch it in a second.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
It's pretty great. I'd be on board.
The only thing that makes me nervous is science fiction in general is just one of those sort of genres that not everybody is into, at least on a commitment basis. Like I think the days of sitting down and watching Star Trek every week are over, and it's very hard pressed to get people to tune in each and every week. And I'm just worried that it's going to come out, it's going to be amazing, and it fails after you know, under 10 episodes. That would make me really, really sad. I think that a show like Dread could really do well with the Netflix model and follow in the lines of your shows like your Daredevils and your, you know, your Marvel properties. I think that would be a lot better.
Yeah, I could see that. I think it takes a special network to be able to handle a genre show. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the networks have tried, you know, like Fox has tried a million times and they keep failing, even with Carl Urban, that APB show or whatever. Mm-hmm. It really needs, like you see, it needs a Netflix or it needs like an AMC. You know, AMC does pretty well with their genre programming. Maybe if the Sci-Fi Channel rebrand is going to go full out, you know, maybe them. But if it goes to many other places, it's just going to wither and die.
Sad.
And it's sad. Right, Randy? It's sad?
It's sad.
I don't know. Is this one of those, you don't have a horse in the race, Randy?
Not at all.
Right. What about Karate Kid? You got a horse in that race?
I certainly do, especially when it comes to my beloved 1980s Karate Kid. Not that new trash.
The one with the lady or with the Smith kid?
The Smith kid. The lady doesn't bother me.
Oh, okay. You're a fan of Hilary Swank.
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
I like teeth.
Oh, all right. Well, anyways, there's going to be YouTube Red, you know, that paid service that no one has, that no one will ever buy, and that YouTube should just cancel. They're getting into the large-scale original programming. They have a lot of already content or content creators programming already. But now they're trying to branch out into narrative storytelling, and we are going to get a 10-episode, 30-minute comedy series called Cobra Kai that follows the exploits of Ralph Macchio's Daniel LaRusso, Rusa, and William Zabka's Johnny, whose last name I can't remember. But he wanted to put people in a body bag, so.
I think he was just Johnny.
Johnny Lawrence.
Johnny Lawrence, there you go.
Johnny Lawrence. And so the press release was pretty exciting, and the last line is, the show is about two men addressing past demons and present frustrations the only way they know how, through karate. So, I'm in.
That's
Randy,
incredible.
Are you in, Randy?
I am so in. Oh my God.
Will you subscribe to YouTube Red?
Not at all.
Not How much old. Is YouTube Red?
I have no idea, but it's. Let's see. I don't think it's in my. I don't think it's in my future.
It's $10 a month for YouTube Red. So, for just the price of four cups of coffee or however much coffee is nowadays, you could watch Karate Kid Cobra Kai. No. Well, their model is different from Netflix too, because they don't just dump everything at once, and so you'd either have to have it for, you know, 10 weeks, or subscribe on the 10th week, watch all 10, and then unsubscribe. It's up to you. Save corners. What about you, Justin? Would you subscribe?
No.
Are you interested in more subscription services?
I can't do any more subscription services. I'm out.
Not even CBS, so for Star Trek Discovery?
No, especially.
Especially.
It's going to tank.
Yeah, I don't like the model, and I don't like all the bad press. I do like Jason Isaacs, though.
I do too.
Jason Isaacs.
He's incredible.
Yeah. The idea of him as a Starfleet captain is intriguing. The pilot will be on regular CBS, so we'll all be able to watch the pilot for free. And I guess they have the pilot to hook us.
I got hooked.
You hookers! What?
I said, like, hooks from Police Academy.
What do you say? Hooks. What?
So listen, great. Turkeys.
So great. I love hooks.
Where's our Police Academy remake they've been promising us for years? Gutenberg's not doing anything.
Yeah.
Commandant Lasard passed away.
Yeah, that's sad.
He was old, though. He was like 97 or something.
Yeah, Punky Brewster killed.
I don't think that's true. Henry Watermont?
Yeah. Moonfry Salami? Moonbeam Salami?
I think that's close.
I know first name's Moonbeam, and his last name is like Simile.
It's like Soulfry?
Oh, that sounds.
Solal Moonfry is her name.
Yeah, tomato, tomato, right?
Yeah.
Semi close.
George Gaines is the Henry Watermont, and he was Commandant Lasar, but he was 98 when he passed away. Oh, he was actually right down the way from me in North Bend, Washington. That's incredible.
You guys could have crossed paths at your local watering hole or KFC.
That's true, except. And he just died in February 15, 2016. Just over a year ago. That's nuts.
That is nuts.
What a long
life. Lived a good life, I guess. Yeah. Guess we could all be lucky if we lived to 98. You know, we get all these sad celebrity deaths where they die at like 40-something. So, yeah, it'd be nice to have a longer life. But, yeah, that's all I got. You guys got anything else you want to chat about? Anything that's fun going on in your lives?
No.
No. Well, that's sad. What about you, Rando?
Not a darn thing, sadly.
Oh, all right. Well, this was an easy one. So thanks for joining us for another great episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. Make sure you go to geeklegacy.com for all of your geek news and reviews. And make sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter and all that nonsense at Geek Legacy. Till next time, we'll talk to you later.